Welcome to the earnings release call of fiscal quarter ended September 30th, 2015 conference. Your hosts for today's call are Mike Maurer, Jay Agarwal, and Chris Jansen. Operator assistance is available anytime during this conference by pressing star zero. A question and answer session will follow the presentation. I'll now turn the call over to your speakers. Please begin.
Thank you, operator. Hello, and everyone, and thank you for joining us today. With me today are Chris Jansen, my co-chief investment officer, and Jay Agarwal, our CFO. Before we begin, Jay will first discuss some general information and comment on forward-looking statements. Jay?
Thanks, Mike. I'd like to remind everyone that today's call is being recorded. Please note that this call is a property of CM Finance, Inc., and that any unauthorized broadcast of this call in any form is strictly prohibited. Audio replay of the call will be available by using the telephone numbers provided in our press release announcing this call. I'd also like to call your attention to the customary safe harbor disclosure in our press release regarding forward-looking information. Today's conference call may also include forward-looking statements and projections, and we ask that you refer to our most recent filing with the SEC for important factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from these projections. We will not update our forward-looking statements unless required by law. To obtain copies of our latest SEC filings, please visit our website at www.cmfn-inc.com. At this time, I'd like to turn the call back to our Chairman and CEO, Michael Maurer.
Thank you, Jay. On our last call in September, I mentioned that we believe the markets have become very aggressive. Between weakening documentation, which governs structural protections for lenders, and increasing leverage multiples, which speak broadly to the risk lenders are willing to take, we believe this environment is a very difficult one to navigate successfully. While we've seen some stabilization in the broader market, terms in most syndicated loans remain unattractive in our view. Within the universe of middle market borrowers, we see more opportunity. The capital markets process for smaller borrowers is fundamentally different, and the more highly negotiated, slower-moving process generally works to our advantage. We have walked away from several transactions after full due diligence, where we felt that the yield or structure were insufficient. That said, because we found that club deals have better terms for investors, we remain very encouraged by our pipeline and very pleased with our investments during the quarter and after quarter end. With that background, we have looked at 67 deals that we have passed on since June 30th. We have invested in four new portfolio companies during that same period of time. For most of calendar 2015, we have been focused on portfolio rotation, taking advantage of liquidity and repayments to fund the purchase of new investments. We take a lot of pride in our disciplined approach, and we're very pleased with our portfolio company investments today. During the quarter ended September 30th, we added one syndicated second lien loan, Language Line Solutions, and one club deal, a first lien loan, to Land Holdings. During the same period, we exited our investments in Nathan's and Crestwood and received repayments from BBG, Tellular, and New Standard. As of September 30th, we had 23 portfolio companies. I'd like to turn the call over to Chris to discuss our investments and our exits, as well as our activity since last quarter end.
Thanks, Mike. As we discussed on our conference call in September, we had several full repayments during our fiscal first quarter. Our loan to BBG repaid in July at a premium of 105, and our realized IRR was approximately 22.5%. Our second lien loan to Tellular also repaid in early July at a premium of 101. Our realized IRR on Tellular was 12.4%. New Standard Energy also repaid our first lien loan at par. Our realized IRR, including our royalty, was approximately 15.8%. We also sold two of our positions in July. The first was Crestwood, a pipeline company. Our realized IRR was 5.1%. Subsequent to our sale, secondary market levels for Crestwood have declined significantly, so we're very pleased about the timing of our sale. We also sold Nathan's Famous, which was our smallest investment at the time. We sold at 106 and 3 quarters for a realized IRR of 31.3%. Including our additional investments in existing portfolio companies, our average yield at cost on new investments during the quarter was 11.6%. Our sales, paydowns, and repayments were at an average yield of 10.6%. We made two new portfolio company investments during the quarter. The first is Language Line Solutions, second lien term loan. Language Line is the largest provider of over-the-phone language interpretation services, a business which is driven by legal requirements to provide services to non-English speakers. When compared with other syndicated loans we have seen over the last few months, Language Line has relatively lower leverage, stronger covenants, and better documentation, as well as a better return. Our investment yields approximately 11% at cost. Our second new portfolio company investment is Land Holdings. This is a project finance loan to build the Scarlet Pearl Casino in Biloxi, Mississippi, and it is slated to open later this year. The construction risk of the project was reduced significantly by the time we made our purchase. Total debt represents less than 40% of the total cost of the project. Our investment is a first lien loan that yields 12% at our cost. Since September 30th, we made one new investment and exited one of our existing investments. We sold our second lien loan to Physiotherapy Associates. At $5 million, this was the smallest position in our portfolio at the time, and it yielded a little less than 10%, which is below our average yield for second lien investments. Our realized IRR was 9.5%. Our new investment since September 30th is $10 million of the first lien loan of NWN Corporation. Our loan, which is a club deal, backs a sponsor acquisition of the company by New State Capital Partners. We also made a small equity co-investment of approximately $150,000 alongside our lending partners and the sponsor. Now I'd like to turn the call back over to Mike.
Thank you, Chris. One just correction. It's three new investments since June 30th, not four. Just wanted to clarify that. Today we have 23 portfolio companies. We expect to maintain or increase that number. From a sector standpoint, we continue to diversify the portfolio. Gaming is our largest industry at approximately 16.5% of the portfolio. I'd like to note that that is entirely first lien. Our second largest sector weighting was healthcare at a little over 13%, followed by telecommunications, which was also just over 13%. Energy represented 12.8% of the portfolio. All these statistics are as of September 30th. In light of our sale of physiotherapy after quarter end, healthcare today is our fourth largest sector at about 12%. As of our fiscal year end, June 30th, the fair value of the portfolio was $330 million. As of September 30th, the fair value of our portfolio was $321 million. About half of that decline is attributable to marks on the portfolio, and about half is due to our net investment activity during the quarter. We continue to maintain a balance of first and second lien investments with approximately 48% first lien, 48.5% second lien. We have 3.4% of the portfolio in an unsecured investment with the remainder in equity or warrants. As of June 30th, we were 0.71 times levered. As of September 30th, we were 0.75 times levered. We currently target leverage of 0.7 times plus or minus 5 to 10% on a net basis. The weighted average yield of our debt and income-producing securities at cost increased from 10.91% as of June 30th to 11.02% as of September 30th. This improvement was driven largely by our investment in land holdings, which yields slightly north of 12% at our cost, as well as our sales and repayments, which averaged a 10.6% yield at cost. Our exits from Tellular, Crestwood, and Nathan's all yielded 10% or less. Since it's been an eventful quarter, I'd like to walk through a bridge of our net asset value from June 30th to September 30th. As of June 30th, our NAV was $14.41. Since that date, we paid a special dividend for 43 cents and our regular dividend for 34.69%, or 34.69 cents per share, was paid on September 18th. We had net investment income of 35.6 cents during the quarter. And finally, our marks accounted for 34.4 cents of NAV decline, or $4.7 million of net realized and unrealized gains and losses. That takes us to our NAV of 13.65 as of September 30th. Two of our marks were credit related due to weaker performance than expected. These were AAR and Bird Electric. AAR is a Colorado-based oil field services company. As drilling activity slowed in the DJ Basin where AAR operates, EBITDA began to decline. AAR breached its covenants in the quarter. We and other lenders in the process of amending both the financial covenants and the amortization schedule for the loan to better align with the current forecast for AAR's financial performance in this environment. Bird Electric is based in Texas and provides utility services both to the oil and gas and regulated utility industries. Much like AAR, as drilling activity in Texas slowed, Bird's results declined, although the decline was more modest. We amended our loan in October, modifying the covenants and increasing the interest rate. In the aggregate, our marks on AAR and Bird accounted for $1.4 million, or 11 cents, of our NAV decline. The balance of our marks, $3.2 million, or 24 cents per share, were due to the broader market volatility. In particular, AM General, Kalis, Endemol, and Trident were marked down by an aggregate of $3.1 million. The balance is attributable to small marks both up and down, as well as the effect of sales and repayments versus our marks as of June 30th. During the September quarter, we earned our full base and incentive management fees for the second consecutive quarter. Based upon our current portfolio, we expect to continue to fully earn our base management fee, and we will earn a significant portion of our incentive fee during our second fiscal quarter, which ends December 31st. We continue to have an active dialogue with the SBA regarding our application for an SBIC license. We have submitted an updated application and are awaiting SBA review and comments. Finally, on November 3rd, our board of directors declared a distribution for the quarter ended December 31st, 2015, of 34.69 cents per share, payable on January 5th, 2016, to shareholders of record as of December 18th, 2015. With that, I'd like to turn the call back to Jay to review our results for the quarter. Jay?
Thanks, Mike. Our net investment income for the quarter was $4.9 million, or 35.6 cents per share. Our aggregate net realized and unrealized losses were $4.7 million, for 34.4 cents per share. The weighted average yield at cost on our debt portfolio was 11.02%. Our debt portfolio was comprised of 82% floating and 18% fixed rate investments. Our average portfolio company investment was approximately $13 million, and our largest portfolio company investment was $29 million. Additional information regarding the composition of our portfolio is included in our Form 10-Q filed yesterday. With respect to our $50 million financing facility, we had $49 million borrowed at quarter end and $48 million as of today. We have $2 million available under this facility and over $10 million in cash today. Our investment portfolio today is approximately $326 million with a weighted average yield at cost of approximately 11.1%. And with that, I'll turn the call back over to Mike.
Thanks, Jay. Our underwriting is focused on the quality of the management team, capital structure, our security, and covenants for the protection and preservation of capital. Over 96% of our investments are senior secured. We have no loans on non-accrual. We will continue to actively manage the portfolio to find the best investment opportunities for our shareholders. We are monitoring a number of companies currently trading in the secondary, and our pipeline of transactions to examine remains robust. Now that we have reached our target leverage, our portfolio growth has moderated, but we expect to continue to make new investments in directly originated and club deals as we identify those opportunities. With that, operator, please open the line for Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will conduct a question and answer session. If you would like to state a question, please press star 1 on your phone now, and you'll be placed into the queue in the order received. Or you may press pound 1 at any time to remove yourself from the queue. Please listen for your name to be announced and be prepared to ask your question when prompted. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phones now. Our first question comes from Robert Dodd from Raymond James. Please state your question.
Hi, guys. Just going to AAR, obviously, you know, a bit of a credit markdown. You underwrote that late last year after the oil price had already taken a pretty substantial step down. So what can you give us any color on what changed between the underwriting framework to the environment now that led to it obviously violating a covenant?
Yeah, thank you, Robert. And, maybe what I'll do is then I'll answer that and then maybe give a little bit more broader discussion around the energy investments. We underwrote that really over the summer, and it closed on September 30th. I believe it was the last day of the quarter we actually funded that. So the underwriting process, we were underwriting in a kind of, I'll say, low to mid-30s EBITDA. When we actually closed, there was still huge momentum on the positive side from a drilling activity and a need for oil field services in the DJ. So it ended up significantly north of 34. And from a standpoint of momentum, the activity in the basin really did not slow significantly until, you know, late in the year is probably an understatement. Going into 2015 is where it started to subside. During the last 3-4 months, we have worked extensively with the company, including bringing in a new CEO. And what we've seen over the last 4 to 5 months is the deterioration really from March through June, July, bottoming out in the July-August time frame, and then from the September-October and over the last week or so, we've actually seen stability and a little bit of a rebound, not only in activity because you've had fallout from some of the smaller players falling away. They've given up trying to stay around by undercutting price. So we've had a little bit, I wouldn't say it's significant, but a little bit of success with the company in seeing a ability to increase their pricing a little. So you've seen a mini cycle happening where, you know, at the trough and coming off it, hopefully. They're very stable. They've got great relationships with their largest client, which has always been Noble. And Anadarko is one that has been increasing. But why don't I'd like to do just maybe a little overview of the energy sector off of that backdrop. We've got three investments in the energy sector representing 12.8% of the portfolio as of September 30th. AAR, which we just spoke about, U.S. Well, and Kalis. U.S. Well provides hydraulic fracking services to E&P operators in the Marcellus and Utica shales during the completion phase of drilling a new well. Specifically, U.S. Well's largest customer is Antero Resources. Antero's commodities hedge a significant multi-year program of their production. and those hedges have allowed them to be more active than many of their competitors despite the decline in gas prices, which has helped U.S. Well. U.S. Well's results have been good, and we're not concerned about that credit. AAR, I just spoke about. I did not mention earlier that the amortization was actually significant during the quarter. About $835,000 amortized down, about 4.5% of our loan balance amortized down at par. AAR's largest customer, Noble, we discussed it, and they have discussed publicly that they are focused on the DJ Basin, which is the heart of AAR's activity. They've also recently increased their activity with Anadarko. We're disappointed that their performance hasn't lived up to expectations. Given the move in oil prices, we have adjusted our expectations, and we've marked down our position by 5 points due to the fundamental underperformance. Kalis Energy is the last of our three energy investments, focused on operations in the North Slope of Alaska. Apollo and management teamed up to acquire the Alaskan operations of Pioneer Energy in early 2014. Obviously, the price of oil declined significantly from the time of their investment. Kalis's fundamental performance has been outstanding, due both to excellent well results as well as substantial hedging program that was in place. Kalis's leverage is modest, and its most recent reserve report that we received in the last 60 days shows substantial asset coverage. We marked down the position in light of the broader markets, where spreads have widened for all E&P companies regardless of their fundamentals. When we look at our energy exposure as of June 30th versus September 30th, we've reduced our exposure from 18.2% of the portfolio to 12.8%. We sold our position in Crestwood, and Chris talked about the timing of that earlier. We actively manage our portfolio. And we worked with New Standard over several quarters, which culminated in the full repayment of our loan in August. These two realizations are responsible for the bulk of our reduction in energy. Our marks during the quarter on AAR and Kalis were about $2.1 million down. Our realizations plus the AAR amortization were $17.6 million. Hopefully that sheds a little more light on our energy portfolio and the thought process on our investments here and how we've been managing that exposure.
It does. Very, very helpful color. Okay, now one more question. You mentioned you're looking at some opportunities in the secondary market to buy some discounted positions. Yeah, obviously, you talked earlier about the liking to control a structure, being a middle market, a club deal. If you're considering opportunities in the secondary market, which probably have weaker covenant packages or docs prepared by somebody else, I mean, what's the thought process balance between being willing to take maybe a weaker package, but the price that you're willing to do that at?
Let me use an actual investment as a a little bit of how we think about it. Nexio. Nexio is something we bought earlier in the year, and to your point, the structure is set. We don't have influence over it. But when we analyze it structurally, it's got, in our view, 24 to 36 months left before it has to be refinanced. 100% vote. It's got maturities coming up on tranches senior to us. They can't be refinanced without us being refinanced. If for some reason somebody found a way to do that, then that's our 2 to 3 year time frame. It's got a significant equity sponsor, TPG. There are recent comps for the business that show that equity that TPG has in it is still in the $400 million range junior to us. And so when we look at that structural maturity offset by our ability not to have input into the document and substantial equity under us at a 14% investment on the initial investments we went in on, it was very, very compelling. That was several months ago. In the last month, there has been a press release that I don't know if it came from, I can't remember if it was the sponsor of the company, but they have hired bankers to review sale and IPO alternatives for the company. So that thesis continues to play out, and to the extent that that happens over the next 12 to 18 months, that 14% is going to be a high teens to 20% return.
Okay, great. Thank you. Really good call.
Our next question comes from Greg Mason from KBW. Please state your question.
Great. Good afternoon, guys. I appreciate the color you've given on the last couple of questions. I think a lot of your commentary on AAR answers this question, but I just want to ask it directly. You know, with kind of reworking the loans, is there any risk of AAR missing a payment here in the foreseeable future?
We are, as I said earlier, we're in the, you know, in the throes of negotiating the amendment and restructuring. I would expect that within, you know, a week or two, we'll have that done. They will be current on all of their interest. Amortization schedule will be reset on that as a result of the amendment that is not finalized. Our view is they've got adequate cash liquidity based upon the current environment for the next at least 12 and probably 24 months. And, you know, from our standpoint, that's the critical time around this sector.
Great. Appreciate that. And then one other question, just as we look at your balance sheet, kind of, you know, at the high end of your targeted leverage range, you know, I think you've already done a lot of the portfolio optimization of getting rid of some of the lower yielding credits. So just as you look at the business today and going forward, can you talk about, you know, your capital management, your needs for additional capital, you know, how you keep the team, you know, occupied and active in the market, and just other plans that you may have, you know, inside this BDC or even outside, you know, for capital availability for you and your team?
Yeah, that's a great question. I appreciate it, Greg. First of all, within the portfolio, there continues to be a few names that have some liquidity around them, names like YRC. We also have Light Squared, which there's a lot of public information out there. They expect to be taking that out. It actually matures end of the year. We love that loan. It's a great first lien loan, but we're pretty sure we're getting $10 million in cash back from that. So there's a few places that create some known liquidity to us, and there's always the unknown repayments that come. On top of that, we have no intentions to go out and, you know, issue below NAV, so I just want to, you know, state that publicly. You know, we continue to look at what opportunities are out there. We are entertaining some people who've approached us about potentially managing private capital on the side. But, you know, with the portfolio in the 300 to 350 range, the team continues to be very active looking at opportunities in the event that we have the Light Squared cash or we want to monetize YRC or something else because it's accretive to shareholders. And at the same time, we will consider other ways to increase some capital under management that would not deter or detract from our attention to the BDC.
Great, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you for your commentary.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phones now. At this time, we have no further questions.
Thank you, operator. I'd like to thank everyone again, and we look forward to speaking with you in February on our next call.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for attending.